To save a little time tonight, since we have the business meeting, I will ask you to turn to two places to start. It might be a while before we get to the second, but maybe that will help. So the first place is 1 John chapter 5. First is 1 John 5. The second place is Numbers chapter 13. So we'll park in 1 John 5 for a few minutes, and then we will head over to the book of Numbers chapter 13. So the plan, we'll see how this goes. The plan is to start a series tonight that I don't know if we'll keep it on Sunday nights or maybe move a little bit on Sunday morning and night, but we'll see how it goes. This is kind of the trial run on the series, and we'll part one goes well. We'll continue with some more. I've got some more ideas in mind to follow up with this. So let's dig in here and see what the Lord wants to do. 1 John 5, verse 4. Start down there in verse 4. 1 John 5, 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Let's see how attentive you are to reading. There is a word that occurs three times. It's a big word that occurs three times, in twice in verse 4, once in verse 5. Anybody want to take a stab at that? Overcometh. So you see that twice in verse 5. You see it once in verse 5. Twice in verse 4, once in verse 5. And that's not the title is not overcoming, but our message tonight has to do with overcoming. I'll tell you what the title is here after we pray and we get going here. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us as we study His Word tonight. Lord God, we ask for You to really help us to understand some things that would allow us all to be overcomers. We know that Your desire is for us to have victory over the spiritual enemies we face. I pray that all of us would come to the realization that we cannot attain that alone. We need You. And I pray that You would really just show us some very practical truths, some things that we can use immediately to help us so that we don't lose. We're not constantly defeated, but that we would overcome and allow You to move us over to the winning side all the time. And we just ask for Jesus Christ to be exalted tonight, His name be lifted up, and for You to be praised, Lord. We just ask that You would do that, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's a book that was published in 1978 called The Road Less Traveled. Anybody familiar with that book? I've not read the book, but the first three words in the book are very profound. First three words of The Road Less Traveled. Quote, "Life is difficult," end quote. How true that is. I believe that's actually an understatement. Life has many obstacles, and those obstacles can own us, or we can overcome them. Now, I say we can overcome them. We can overcome them in the power of the Lord. We can't do it on our own. But have you noticed this crowd? Got a lot of folks that have got a lot of life experience here. You have noticed that obstacles are always there, right? You think, oh, I'm past this big one, and maybe I won't have one for a while. And maybe you don't have one for a week. Maybe a little more than that. But doesn't it always come back around? Something else comes around, and it's an obstacle. Not something you created, but something that just happens. So everybody here, if we were to go around the room, could tell of some great difficulty that you have experienced in the past or you are experiencing now. Would that be accurate? You've either had or are currently going through some difficulty, some obstacle. But if you look at the text we read, the word overcometh, as I said, is three times. And I'll just give you three points that are not the three main points of the message, but have to do with this passage. It's really neat, connected with the word overcometh. The first thing, verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. So let me just ask you, have you been born of God? You say, what does that mean? If you're saved, you were born of the Holy Spirit of God. That's the new birth. That's being born again. So the first point here from this passage, if you are born again, if you've been born of God, what do you have the ability to do because of that? Not because of you, but because of what God's done. Overcome the world. Notice the second thing in verse 4. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What is it? What's the last three words there? You attain victory. You overcome the world by faith. You say, by faith in what? Well, how were you saved? You had to have faith in Jesus Christ. How did you come to know what Jesus Christ did for you? God's Word said so. So faith in what God said allows you to be an overcomer. So we stop here and just kind of celebrate. If you've been born again, God wants you to be an overcomer. Yes, He's going to allow obstacles. Yes, He's going to allow things to come to your life that are hard. But He puts them there so that you will lean in hard on Him to overcome them. The second thing is, you got to, and this is going to be the theme tonight when we get down to the main part of the message, you should not stop believing God's Word after you get saved. Jesus Christ said over in John 8, if ye continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed. So salvation requires believing what God said about your sin and about what Jesus Christ did for you because of that. To be a disciple requires you to continue to believe, to continue to have faith in what God said. Don't ever stop. Don't ever get to the place where you say, I don't need the Bible anymore. You're in trouble. If you ever get to the place where you say, I don't need that book anymore, I'm okay. I'm all right. I've read it enough times. Big mistake. Keep on reading. Keep on trusting what God said. Next thing it says in verse 5, it says, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So from that last mention of overcome or overcometh, anyone who believes that Jesus is the Son of God can overcome the world. And if you are wondering what that means, don't have time for this, but verse 7 explains it further. Not only is Jesus the Son of God, He is also God manifest in the flesh. He is equal with God the Father. The Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, verse 7 says, these three are one. Is the Holy Spirit God? Is Jesus Christ God? Well, obviously, God the Father is God. Don't fall into this trap. Sherry and I talked about this on the way over. People fall into this trap of thinking, well, Jesus Christ is less God than God the Father. No. And then the Holy Spirit really gets sidestepped oftentimes, doesn't He? Oh, yeah, He's blessed. He's not as important. Come on! The Holy Spirit is equal with God. The Holy Spirit is important, just as Jesus Christ is important, just as God the Father is important. So that's a whole other message, but I think you get the gist of that. So you get the keys to being an overcomer. You got to be born again. You got to have faith in what God said. You got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He's God manifest in the flesh. So let me ask you a question based on those three things right there. Do you have the ability through these three things, only through the Lord, do you have the ability to be an overcomer? So you should be then. We should not be Christians that walk around down and defeated all the time, should we? But there's a lot of Christians walking around doing that, aren't there? They're just depressed as can be. They need to understand, and if you don't need this message tonight, you will probably need it somewhere down the road, you need to understand that God's desire is for you to be an overcomer. So with that example, or that introduction, let me give you an idea of where we're going, and I'll begin with a secular example, and then we'll move right into some really good, solid spiritual truth with biblical examples. So here's the secular illustration or example I'd like to throw at you. Our world is obsessed. Many people in our world are obsessed with superheroes. I'll give you a few. Batman, Green Lantern, Captain America, Iron Man, Spider-Man, Superman, and I have to mention Supergirl, right, ladies? And another one, Wonder Woman. Can't leave the ladies out. Our world is obsessed with superheroes to a large degree. You say, how do you know that? Well, comic books used to be a big deal, and they're actually making a comeback. They still are a big deal. And more so than comic books with superheroes is the big screen. Hollywood makes billions, oh, not millions, billions on superhero movies, which is interesting. People enjoy watching movies about superheroes. This caused me to think about why that's the case. Well, in superhero accounts, you have every superhero account, you have a superhero who has great strength and power, right? But in every movie and every story, something happens that presents a big obstacle for the superhero. I mean, who would want to watch a movie about a superhero that wins all the time and never has any problems? The thrill is seeing the superhero come up against something that might stop them. But you keep watching the movie because, oh, the superhero just might lose. But in the back of your mind, you know they're going to win. But then you are trying to figure out, as you're watching, how are they going to pull this one off? And that's what draws you in, and that's why it's such a billion-dollar industry. Movies, and particularly superhero movies. So I want to take our attention away from people like Batman and Superman and Spider-Man and draw your attention to some real, real superheroes right here in the Bible. Some real ones. The reason I say real is because Spider-Man's not real, folks. Neither is Superman. I know that you might go to New York City looking around for him to help out in time of need, but he doesn't. And all the other that I mentioned, they're not real. But in your Bible, you have accounts of real people, and they overcame great obstacles. I think they're the real superheroes. Now, the greatest superhero of all time has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think somewhere along the line, I'll do a message just around him. But I wanted to try to go in some chronological order to some degree here, and we're actually going back to the book of Numbers. So go to Numbers 13, and I'll introduce you to our first real superhero, Numbers chapter 13. And I want to make sure that I preface all of these messages, however many are we end up doing. I want to preface these by saying none of these individuals in the Bible that we will cover, none of them could be overcomers without the power of God. Lesson for me and you, none of us can be an overcomer without the power of God. You're going to fail on your own every time. 10 times out of 10, you'll fail. So I don't want to just talk about a particular man tonight. I want to make sure that we understand that this man's actions led him to completely rely on the Lord for help in overcoming obstacles. And he had a couple of large obstacles to overcome. So Numbers 13, save a little bit of time. I'll give you a little background here. This is the chapter where Moses sends 12 spies to go take a look at the promised land. At this point in Israel's history, they're in the wilderness, but they're making preparation to go in the promised land. Moses sends 12. How come? Why does he send 12 men? One from each tribe. So you have a list of all the men there, and starting there in verse 4, all the way down there to verse 15. And then let's go down there to verse 17. It says, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring the fruit of the land. Now, the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Now, I will read here, I'll read some more in a minute, but let's get the picture here. How many men did Moses send to spy out the land? Okay, do you think that all 12 men saw the exact thing when they went into the promised land? Wouldn't their observations of what they actually saw, they would all be the same, right? Some guys might have seen something that the other guys didn't, but generally speaking, would you agree? They all looked at the same land. Now, I had some people shaking their heads about what they saw. They said, you're thinking, they saw different things. Well, what they thought about going in there, they did not agree. And I'll read that. So look at verse 21. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin under Rahab as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, you want to pay attention to these names right here, Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmah, the children of Anak were. Those are giants, by the way, the Anakim. Now, Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. By the way, that's a big cluster of grapes, wouldn't you say? That's a big one. 24, the place was called the brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes that the children of Israel cut down from thence. Okay, we want to pay attention to what verse 25 says. They returned from searching of the land for how long? 40 days. Make sure you remember that. Okay, so they have done the job of surveying the land, and now they come back to report. So let's look at verse 26 and see how this goes. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Verse 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, those giants. 29. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Okay, so I'm going to stop for just a moment. Based on verses 27 to 29, what kind of attitude towards the land, what kind of report are you getting the vibe of so far about these fellows that come back? They're telling about all the people in the land and how dangerous it would be to go to the land. There's fear in those verses. You say, how do you know that? Keep reading. Verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to, there's our word, overcome it. 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are what? Stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is the land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Okay, I want to focus on this man, Caleb. He's our first overcomer, our first real superhero here. And I want to take the first point here tonight from what we see Caleb say, what we read Caleb said there in verse 30. Look what he says. He says in verse 30, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And here's the first point that we can all learn from old Caleb here. Caleb simply believed what God said, and that caused him to have confidence that they could take the land. Folks, belief affects behavior. And his belief in what God had told the Israelites for many years about the promised land and how it was theirs, Caleb believed that. And because he believes God and what he said, he has confidence that they can go up there and overcome those giants. So here's the first thing tonight. You want to be an overcomer? Number one, simply believe what God said. You take it to the next step and act on what God said, but it starts with belief. So notice a big contrast between the report of the spies. Two of them. Now we get Caleb here. Later we find out Joshua was with Caleb on his side. Two of them, Caleb and Joshua, believed that God would help the Israelites overcome the giants and possess the land. That was 2. What's 12 minus 2? 10 did not believe that God could provide deliverance because they allowed the fear of giants to drive out their trust in God. Now, that's pretty profound right there. I need that for myself if you don't. They allowed fear to drive out their trust in the Lord. Folks, don't allow fear to keep you from trusting the Lord. Fear comes about because you have some obstacle that you don't know what to do about, right? And you think about all the worst-case scenarios of how this might turn out. Make that, instead of fear, make that faith in what God said and trust Him to overcome the obstacle. Now, 2 against 10 is not very good odds. That's pretty rough. But actually, it's much worse than 2 against 10. Now, in my Bible reading, I'm in Numbers. And guess what the book of Numbers is about? Good guess. And I often read the book of Numbers and I say, Lord, why did you record the number from this tribe and the number from this tribe? And not just once, but a few times. I know this message, actually, what God recorded in Numbers with actual numbers will help us understand the insurmountable, seemingly insurmountable odds that Joshua and Caleb faced. It was not 2 against 10. It was much more than that. So let me show you this. You say, why did God record all this? Let me show you. Numbers chapter 2. It was much more than 10. It was much more than 100. More than 1,000. Look how many. Numbers 2. Go to 32. 232. Now, in this chapter, you have the camps. There are actually 4 different camps. 4 camps of 3 tribes. Chapter 1, you've actually got it broken down by camp. Yeah, each of the tribes. And then the camps in chapter 2. Go down to verse 32. You get the totals. I'll save you a little time here. Just get the totals. 232. These are those which were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers. All those that were numbered of the camps throughout their host were, here we go, 600,000 and 3,550. Okay, so if you want to write that number down, 603,550. 603,550. Against how many? 2. 2 against, not 10, 603,550. Oh, actually, it's more than 603,550. You know why? In Numbers chapter 2, it only gives the numbers of the men fit to go to war 20 years old and up. So, no women included, no children included. So, add in the women and children, how many you got? A couple million? You see the odds they were against? Because you keep reading in Numbers, you get into chapter 14, you find out that the only 2 men, Moses would have been a third, but Moses doesn't get to go in the promised land. Only 2 men really believed that God would deliver them from the giants and help them overcome the giants and possess the promised land. So let me stop here for a moment. I know that I'm in a Bible believing church, and this is a unique place. Got Bible believers in here. Amen, right? Okay, I'm just telling you, and you've been around a while, you know this is true. A lot of people that I believe are saved think that you're a fanatic for believing every word of God. You say, those people can't be saved. They must not even be saved. I would beg to differ because I know that there's a lot of folks that, actually not just a lot of folks, God's patient with everybody, isn't He? And God will give you time to figure some things out. And there's people that just haven't figured out yet. Yeah, I need to believe every word. And then there's other people that just, they think they're too smart. They're smarter than God. They're scholars. And they say, well, I don't have to believe every word. They think they got everything figured out. But I'm just telling you, as a Bible-believing Christian, you're going to meet other Christians that don't believe what God said. You're going to encounter them. And you need to understand, you can get mad and you can argue and all. And I mean, there's a time and place for that. But here's the difference. when it really comes down to overcoming the spiritual enemies we face, you're going to have a leg up on them by believing what God said. So don't stop believing what God said. All right? And what's interesting is a lot of times when those people come up against an obstacle in their life that they don't know what to do, guess who they will run to? They'll come to see you and know there's something about you in believing what this book says. And there's power in doing that, and power in overcoming opposition, spiritual opposition. Okay, so the odds are stacked against them. So I wanted to set the stage here. Caleb, and you could include Joshua, but we're focusing on Caleb here. Caleb is in a position where he is facing odds that are stacked heavily against him, right? How's he going to win? See, here's your superhero. How are they going to overcome this? I mean, there's no way they can win. They got all these people against them, right? So let's just take that one number for the sake of having an actual number. 603-550. Let me ask you a question. 2 versus 603-550. Question. How many men is having God on your side worth? How many men does that equal? If you have God on your side, how many does that equal? 603-550? 2 million? 5 million? I don't know. I just know that it outnumbers the opposition no matter what they are. We might do a lesson on Elijah. You remember the prophets of Baal? There was one Elijah. There was 450 prophets of Baal. Who won? Don't say Elijah. The Lord won, but he used Elijah. God got the glory out of that, but he used the man in that situation. Just like God wants to use any and all of us right here. God gets the glory, but he uses human agents for his work to be accomplished, but only if we trust him. You willing to be used? You're going to have to constantly trust the Lord. You're going to have to, over and over, just believe what he said. Okay, let me show you something. Go to Numbers chapter 9. What was the problem with all these people that were against Joshua and Caleb? What book did I tell you? I'm so sorry. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 9. What was their problem? Well, the Bible will tell you. This is where you got to go to another passage to get light on the passage we just read. Deuteronomy 9:23. Get some insight here on what their problem was. 9:23. Likewise, this is Moses talking. Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you, then ye rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. Now watch this. And ye believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. What was their problem, folks? Two things. They go hand in hand. Unbelief. They did not believe and trust the promises of God. And ultimately, unbelief is, what's it called right there in the passage? Rebellion against God. Their problem was they had unbelieving, rebellious hearts. That was their problem. And because of that, they were spiritual midgets. They could not overcome because they didn't trust that God could help them overcome. Now, go to your New Testament here. We're going to come back. Go to your New Testament. Go to Romans 8. I've got to put this passage in here. We'll come back to Joshua chapter 14 if you want to find both places here. I'm going to try to not go too long here. But go to Romans 8 first. Romans 8 and then Joshua 14. We'll go right after that and pick up the next point. Next couple points will be in Joshua. But Romans 8, just to get a little New Testament light on this. Help us practically apply what we just read. But Romans 8. A couple of great verses here. These are good to read when you're down and defeated and struggling. And we're all going to be there. Don't think that anybody in this room, all of us at some time or another, we're going to have our doubts, we're going to be down, and you're going to need to resort to what God said to get you back up. And that's okay. That's normal. That's the Christian life. You got to just get back up. You got to trust God to help you do that. Look at verse 31. Good verse to read whenever you're down and defeated. Verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Can you lose with God on your side? No way. You never lose. Isn't that something? That's an encouraging verse. If God be for us, who can be against us? Go down there to verse 37. This is I have favorite verses. This is in the top five, probably in the top three. 37. Nay, in all these things we are conquerors. Yeah, thank you for correcting me. I wanted to make sure you see that. We're not conquerors. It says we are more than conquerors. I'll take that. I'd rather they be more than a conqueror. We are more than conquerors. How? Through the flesh? Through human effort? Oh, no. Don't go there. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Who loved you? Jesus Christ loved you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's great love shown. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Hey, let those verses help you when you're going through a tough time and you got an obstacle in the way that you don't know how to deal with it. Say, Lord, I can't. I'm trusting You to help me overcome this, and I know that when You do that, You'll be glorified because I'm acknowledging to You there's no way that I can handle this. And in those situations, folks, God gets glory. You try to do it on yourself, do it on your own in your own power, and if there's any kind of success at all, who gets glory out of that? You do. And I'll tell you something that's really crept into even churches today is this humanistic spirit. Oh, you can do it. Just put forth your best effort. You can do it. You're going to fall flat on your face. Sooner or later, you will. Your own effort is going to be too little to overcome enemies that you face. Trust God, because if you're on the Lord's side, you can't lose. Okay, go back to Joshua 14. Believing what God said and placing your trust in Him alone, you win. You can't lose. As time passes, so I'll give you a little help with what's going on in the world today. As time passes, expect to be more and more in the minority when it comes to the people who actually believe what God said. I take the last 10 years. The number is shrinking. Bible believers are shrinking. Would you agree? Okay. In the next 10 years, you can expect that to shrink even more. This is just kind of how it is. If Moses, in Moses' day, you had two men, Caleb and Joshua, two out of a couple of million, that's pretty small, wouldn't you say? So if it's always been in the minority to be a quote, crazy person who believes what God said, I'll be the crazy person. I'm okay with that. Hopefully you're okay with that too, all right? And I'll tell you what we all need. I need it as much as anybody. You need encouragement. It's a great thing that we come together and encourage one another to keep on believing what God said. I need that encouragement as much as anybody. So don't you think, because I'm up here, oh, Rockwell doesn't need that. No, you might need to just pat me on the back one day and say, hey, keep believing the book. Because I need that. I need to be reminded of that. And I'm sure you do as well, because this is, even though we're in the minority, this is where the power is, right? This is where the victory comes. Okay, Joshua 14. Let's get this second point. These next two should go pretty quick. Look at let's go to verse 6. 14:6. First off, you got to believe what God said if you want to be an overcomer. Watch this one. Verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Okay, let me give you, before I read the next verse, which is a good one, you're in Joshua. When you get into the book of Joshua, the Israelites have made their way into the promised land. They are in the process of conquering the land. And by the way, the men who rebelled against God's word, against and didn't believe, those men died in the wilderness and didn't get to go in. And another thing is, you know how long the Israelites wandered around because of those 10 that spread to everybody else? They spied out the land 40 days, and the Lord said, oh, for every day you're going to spend a year in the wilderness wandering around. 40 years. I'll tell you, just a little side note, this is another message, but the sins of just a few people can affect a big group of people over time, can't they? You got to stay on guard for yourself. Because your sin does affect other people. Be sure your sin will find you out and it'll affect other people if you're not careful. Okay, let's go on here. Verse 8, look what old Caleb says. He says, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." So here's the second point tonight. Not only do you need to believe what God said to be an overcomer, you need to wholly follow the Lord. And I'm going to give you a little thing in parentheses here. Stay behind Him. You say, well, duh. We often say, "Lord, I'll follow you." And then you know what happens? We're going down the road and we hop around in front. You're not a follower. Wholly follow the Lord. Stay behind Him. Let Him lead the way. We get, and especially in this world we're living in, where we get everything in an instant. Fast food, fast everything. We want God to show us direction just like that, right? And a lot of times He says, stop and wait for me to move forward. So stay behind Him. After you stand your ground, believing what God said, regardless of opposition, start following the Lord the way Caleb did. Wholly follow the Lord. We got a lot of halfway followers in our world today. Be a person who wholly follows the Lord. Caleb knew that he could do nothing in his own power. He also knew that he could not conquer the enemy unless he had the Lord on his side. So if you go on down there, verse 12, actually I got to read verse 11 because it's a good one. Verse 11, Caleb talking here. He says, "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." And you find out in verse 10, I didn't read it, Caleb is 85 years old when he says that. He says, "I am as strong at 85 as I was when I was 40. Amen to that. Now, you think Caleb was telling a lie there? I don't. You know why I don't? I think he's telling the truth. There's no GMOs back then. There's a lot of things in the world today that speed the aging process that they didn't have back then. But even more important than that, the only way he can say that is the Lord preserved him through all that. Think about their lifestyles. They were moving all the time back then, weren't they? They didn't sit around on the couch and watch TV. They didn't have TV. They were moving constantly. They were working constantly. They were carrying things. So that's strength. He's 40 now. He's 85. And he says, "I'm just as strong now." You say, was Caleb really that strong? Well, let's keep reading. Verse 12. He says, "Now therefore, give me this mountain." You ever seen the hymn? "I want that mountain. I want that." That comes right from Caleb here in Numbers, or Joshua chapter 14. "Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced." Now watch this statement here. I got it underlined. "If so be the Lord will be with me," it's a very important condition, "then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." Okay, now here we go. Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. And you find out there that he's ready to go up there to the mountain. And I'll just say a couple of things here about following the Lord. Did you notice there it says in verse 12, I slowed down, but I got to do it again. Caleb knew he would only be victorious if the Lord was with him. The Lord would have to be leading the way, because he's about to, in the next chapter we'll see, he is about to face odds that he cannot overcome by himself. So the Lord has got to be the one out in front. So real quick, I'll give you the verses here. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Follow me." He says that a few times in the Gospels. And there's a place over in Matthew 16 where he talks about, he says, "Follow me." He says, "You're going to have to bear your cross. And you're going to have to exercise some discipline to do so." So I'll just tell you this. If you're going to follow the Lord, discipline is required. Also, if you're going to follow the Lord, difficulty is going to be inevitable. It's not, folks, can we just say, the Christian life is not all sunshine and roses, is it? It's hard. And God allows it to be that way and desires it to be that way because He wants you and me to continually have to lean on Him to have victory to get through the struggles. So following the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to require some discipline, requires some difficulty going along the path, but you can trust the Lord. If you go on there in Matthew 16, you find out that there are always great rewards for those who follow Jesus Christ. Always. The Lord rewards those who follow Him. John 8:12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that, anybody know the verse? He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The only way to have light on a dark path, this world being a dark place, is to follow the person who has the light. Actually, it's better than that. Follow the person who is the light. Amen? You ever been in a dark place without a flashlight? Good luck. You need a light in a dark place. Our world is a spiritually dark place. Follow the one who is the light, and you'll see that things will be much clearer, and you'll understand things much better. Go to the next chapter here. I want to wrap up here. Point number three, Joshua 15. This is the last thing about Caleb. We got to get to the end of this. Believe what God said. Follow the Lord. Holy, follow the Lord. There's two things. And then you'll see that what will happen when you do those things is you will have overcome the enemy. The Lord will overcome the enemy on your behalf. Look at verse 13, 15, 13. And unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. Now watch, see if you remember these names. Verse 14. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. You remember those names over in Numbers? So he goes up there, and he faces these giants, and who wins the battle, folks? 85-year-old man whoops some giants. I would love to see the video of that one day, wouldn't you? There's something about just seeing this old guy just whoop some other guys. Giants, in this case. So then you find out it says, and he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir was Kirjath-Sefer. A little side note here. When he beats the giants, only then, verse 15, does he go where? What's it say? And he went where? Up. You get victory. You stand on top when you trust the Lord to defeat the giants. Amen? That's how you get to the top, only by trusting the Lord. So the last thing here, after believing what God said, after wholly following the Lord, you can overcome the enemy in the power of the Lord. So there's the third thing. Now, little fun thing here. How many giants are mentioned by name in verse 14? There's three. I wonder if God did that on purpose. Three. Do you know how many spiritual enemies you have? You can categorize them in three distinct categories. You got three. Miss Cookie's preaching the sermon. There you go. Amen. Enemy number one. Did you notice it in 1 John 5? Overcometh three times. Overcometh the world. Enemy number one. Enemy number two, me, and you sitting in a pew, you, specifically, the flesh. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one or the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You don't succeed all the time if you don't succeed at all if you yield to the flesh. You get victory when you yield to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, we got the world, we got the flesh, enemy number three. The devil himself. Now, I don't know if I've ever gone toe-to-toe with the devil. I know the Lord Jesus Christ did, and I know that he won. And you know how he won? Three times in his conversation with the devil, with those three temptations. Three times the Lord resorted to, it is written. See, even for the Lord Jesus Christ himself, it was the power of the Scriptures, believing the Scriptures, that got him to overcome, allowed him to overcome even the devil himself. So, believe what God said. Holy, follow the Lord, and then you'll be able to overcome the enemy. Real quick, go to Judges chapter 1. Judges chapter 1, last place here. Judges 1. Just make sure we nail this thing down. Something that will hopefully be a little helpful here. Judges 1:20. Judges 1:20. Actually, back up to 19. This is kind of interesting. Caleb is from the tribe of Judah. And look at what it says about at least some of the folks in Judah in verse 19. And it said, "And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron." That's a whole other message we could do with that one. But then verse 20 singles out Caleb. "And they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said." And I love this wording right here. And he, what did he do? Expelled. I'm an educator, and that is a strong word in school. You're expelled. You know what that means? Get out. I'm kicking you out of here. He expelled the three sons of Anak, and we get their names over there in the book of Joshua. Folks, I'll just remind you as we close with this. You cannot defeat any of the spiritual enemies you face in your own power. You can't. Stop trying. You're going to fail every time. You're going to have to do three things. Learn from Caleb, our first real superhero. Believe what God said. Don't ever stop believing God's word. Holy, follow the Lord. Let Him stay in the front, you get behind. And the third thing, in the power of God, you can overcome your spiritual enemies, no matter who or what, or no matter how many, by the way, either. The account of Caleb is not just for us to read and be in awe of. It is for us to read and plug into our life those same characteristics that Caleb had. Little reminder here for all of us. When the opposition is great, that's when God gets the greatest glory. So you're going up against something, you don't know how it's going to work out? Good. If you'll trust the Lord in the end, it may not be a week, it might not be a month, it might not be a year, it might be many years you're fighting that same thing, but God will get the glory as long as you're doing as Caleb did there and trusting in Him. Now, I'll just ask you in closing here as we have our invitation. Tonight, you got any giants in your life? Here's the test to identify the giants. So if you didn't know how to answer that, what is it right now that is discouraging you and or stopping you from really being all that God made you to be? Whatever that is, that can be a giant in your life. Whatever it is that comes to mind, that's giants in your life. Hey, I just encourage you here as we have our invitation. How about you deal with the Lord so He can deal with the giants in your life and take care of that tonight? Get on the right path now. This is when we come to church, to be encouraged to get back on the right path if we're off. So start now if you need to get back on the right path and say, "Lord, I got these giants. I can't beat them. I keep losing. I got to have your help to overcome them. Would you please help me?" And you're going to have to believe what God said. You're going to have to be ready to follow the Lord, and it won't always be easy. And you're going to see that when you do that, God will overcome, and you'll have to say in the end, only He did it. And that's what God desires, is to do great work in your life so that He is glorified. Trust in the Lord and His power to work in you to overcome all of your spiritual enemies. So let's pray together. Sure want to thank you, Lord, for your words. I thank you for this man that lived a long time ago that is certainly inspiring. And I pray that we would all learn from his life. And I know that we all, everybody here that's honest, would have giants that they have faced or are facing that we know cannot be overcome on our own by ourselves. And I just pray that during this time tonight, we would not go away from here without giving you, just giving over our lives to you and giving you the surrendering you the power to overcome these things, knowing that we certainly can't on our own. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.